Hello and welcome to Indecision, the new mini podcast from Digivox Gamer. I'm Robin Smith, here to give you a look at the best and more interesting indie titles out there at the moment. So each episode, we, as in me, will be looking at four or five titles available at the moment. For the first edition, I thought I'd look at my personal favourite titles. So first up, I've picked VVVVVV, if you want to call it that. Developed by Terry Kavanagh, I think. I hope I ain't mispronouncing that name there, Terry. And available on Steam for $3.99. It's a PC-only game that is, if you haven't seen it, shame on you. But it's almost like you could see it being playable on an Atari 2600 or a very old games console. It's crazy, really, because you've got a platforming aesthetic and a normal platforming design, really retro sounds and visuals, but with modern ideals and ideas in it. So, like, the music is far cooler than music you would have found then. I mean, not that there was anything wrong with music in video games back then, but, you know. And there's this unique twist on the game and platform games. Your character is involved in an accident in space. He's a space captain. And his crew members on his ship get separated, and you're tasked with finding them by traversing this normal platform environment. But unlike most platformers, where you can just hop up and down on things, you can't jump. You are forced to use the three button system, pretty much forward, backwards, or left and right, and the space bar. And all the spacebar does is flip the gravity for him. So your character will traverse a level by flipping upside down and walking on the ceiling and flipping back over again, walking on the floor. The title is obviously derived from the sheer vast number of spikes that adorn every single surface in the game world. And it's much more of a see-your-pants puzzle platformer, with one instance of having to drop off the ceiling down a pit and manage to dodge several different other screens of small spike blocks, only to land at the bottom of this pit and flip back up and dodge them all over again to get the other side of a small set of spikes that was in your way. Now, I mean, that might be simple sounding, but the very fact that each part of that, each level, I mean, it's obviously it's just a large open world game, but each section is sectioned off into one screen, so you don't see what's coming when you drop down. And much like the next game in this list, it's one that you're having too much fun playing and exploring and fiddling with the gravity controls, that even when you die, which is likely to happen a lot, at least it did to me, if you're as bad as me it will happen a lot, you don't feel bad about it, you don't feel resentful towards the game about it, you don't feel a level of frustration. There's that. You're also enjoying it and challenged by it, but it's never frustrating. And I mean, I can't recommend it enough. I mean, I only came to this game recently, but I you know, it's already up there in my favourite indie games. So, you know, check that out. Also available on Steam and on Xbox Live is my second choice. Which isn't going to be a surprise if anybody knows me, but it's Super Meat Boy. which by Team Meat, and again, it's just another platformer. I hate to use the word steals, but takes from the mold of platformers past, and then supercharges it, and makes every level, even though that the levels are no longer to get through them at their worst 30 seconds, but at their average about 10 seconds. But each one is not a steep learning curve, but an extremely focused challenge. But once you, when you fail at those challenges, the controls for Meat Boy are so refined that you know every time the reason you failed is because you personally made a mistake that you shouldn't have. You jumped too far, you held a button for too long. It's not because the controls are wrong, it's because of you. And then there's a certain level of frustration with that, but at the same time, you don't ever feel angry at the game. You don't feel that you've been cheated. That every moment is infused with just perfectly constructed skill. There isn't a moment that goes by while I'm playing that game that I dislike the game at all. I am being pushed to the limit by the last level, which I have yet to complete. But again, I know that's because of me, because I'm just, excuse me, I can't fight I can't resist the urge to just push the jump button at the wrong time while holding on to the sprint. It also, the game is infused with a much higher level of charm, like than games now. The platformers have been wallowing for so long, and the few out there that are successful, they're getting charmless, and to have a simplistic, instantly likable character and bunch of supporting characters on screen in every moment, it's just brilliant. The whole experience is oozing with just the best humour and the best sight gags and nods to other games, literally in the sense of the warp zones and the visuals, like the warp zone levels looking like classic NES and SNES and Game Boy games. And also, the characters you unlock collecting bandages and completing warp zones being characters from other, I don't want to say successful, very good indie titles as well. Commander Video's in there, and Jill is in there. I'm trying to remember. it's hard to remember what characters are in there at the moment. Flywrench. It's just this loving, just a love letter to all the other indie developers out there, saying, you know, we understand where you've come from, what you're doing. We love your games, love our game. You know, so it's just a joy to play. I will always go back to playing that game. We'll move on to number three, which is, may seem like I've got a vested interest in this, but it's by Fun Infused Games, who have featured on a couple of past podcasts, and I've picked specifically Hypership Out of Control. It's available on the Xbox Live Indie Marketplace and now Windows Phone 7. Brilliant little scrolling shooter, but the twist is that your spaceship's engines have broken and are speeding up, and all you can keep doing is dodging everything. It's more a case of dodging what's coming than shooting what's getting in your way or trying to attack you. Soundtrack is brilliant, especially for an indie. Xbox Live indie game, because the restrictions on file size can cause problems with audio, I've noticed in past games. But again, it's a game that is steeped with little touches of humour, like should you wish to quit the game, there's little message that pops up that says, oh, you want to go play with dolls if your little girl gone, and sort of thing. And like everybody who sees it the first time, they immediately laugh, you know. So there's always this in almost all of what Fun and Fuse do, which is a lot. They seem to work as much as I do on producing podcasts, but almost everything they produce is always literally infused with a sense of humour and fun. That there's never a moment where an idea, even if the game isn't your style of game, that it isn't, you know, built with an intention towards making people laugh or have a good time playing it. And from what I've seen, they're bringing out a range of games. They're all just a completely new idea or take on an old idea. So, you know, even if you haven't played Hope Ship Battle Control or Fun and Fuse game before, take a look at it now and keep an eye on them for the future, because I honestly, really honestly, think they're actually going to be doing quite well in the long run. You know, and you don't want to miss out on a, you know, good game. Next up, I've picked two. One sort of by request, but actually I found it, I'll talk about the first one of the two. The first game is called The Killer, and it's available as a Flash game. It's just a Flash in browser title on Newgrounds, and it's on the surface it's very simple. It's even described in game as a non-game, and it's a combination of experience and education. You take the role of two people, and all you do is hold down the space bar. Depending on your selection at the beginning, you get music or you can just have the ambience. I suspect it's a better experience with the music, because I've not chosen to do it with the ambience. The one drawback with having music on is despite controlling the events on screen the whole time, the music can run short of what's happening, and that can affect the overall emotional experience intended here. But you control two stick figures walking across a sprite background, forests and hills and so on, and you're tasked with literally just holding the space bar until you get to a certain point, and then you're not told to do anything, but it's clear by the game's title and the thing that happens, because I don't want to give too much away, that you're tasked with doing this thing. And actually there's more than one outcome to this interactive experience, so there isn't a restriction on, you can only do this. There are, you know, outcomes and what you get told afterwards, because there is a certain level of educational and informativeness to it. What you get told afterwards is slightly changed by what you do or what happens in the game. And I use the word game for both of these titles, but it's one that's always struck odd with me when it comes to video games as a medium, is that I think the industry itself shot itself in the foot to start with by picking the word game. Whoever picked it, the first person to use the word game for video games, kind of, I know there's not much else you can use to describe them or early titles, but it just kind of has put a stopper on the general public's understanding of what it is we choose to partake in experiencing, or those of us who make choose to make, and that can prevent people from experiencing new things. So anyway, we're talking about the killer, and the emotive response you get, hopefully if you have a soul, it's astounding, considering that what you get on the screen is two stick figures walking for about 3 minutes, and not much more than that. And then the opportunity you get afterwards to learn more about what created this experience. It's just very telling that this experience exists, this interactive experience exists, and does so much with so very little. And that big companies, or at least better off individuals who can do this sort of thing, haven't done it with better equipment and better visuals and better means before now, because both of these, to be honest, are doing things that should have been done a long time ago. So the killer is something you must experience. It can't, but it was the same for the next title. I'll move on to the next title first, which is by a friend of the show, Peter Willington. Hope I got it right this time, Pete. Also known as 000, from In Retrospect podcast. He's created a critical game experience. I hope I got the description right. Which is also interesting and emotional, subtle in very much a much more subtle way, which is even more impressive considering that he's had no experience whatsoever in game creation or development or interactive experience development. Because again, I fight the urge to instinctively call anything I'm looking at now as a game, because I don't think that is a valid term to use. I would suggest maybe using the phrase something more artistic than that, but anyway, it's something that stumps me, so it must be much harder for explains why other people much better than me may not have come up with something when I can't even come up with a few words to describe what should be used to describe these experiences. But I'm babbling at the moment, so I'll continue. He's created a title called Soldiers Are Dreamers. And it's very simply, on its most base level, a point-and-click interactive experience. And as a player, close brackets, you are faced with pretty much one or two screens, main screens anyway. And you're faced with a desk with a laptop and some headphones and a few other bits on it. And almost instinctively, you're compelled to do the whole Shenmue thing. See, there's some video game. Shenmue thing. And start exploring the desk. Interacting with what's there. And at first, not knowing, if you don't happen to have read much about this before you start experiencing it, not knowing much, you probably wouldn't start understanding why these things are in, why there's two mobile phones in the drawer. and the shopping list and the tobacco in another drawer. And then you start experiencing what's on top of the desk. And you take the writing on the screen, the game. I hate going back to it, but I'll use it this time. It was crafted, inspired slightly by a poem, and you read what's on the screen, and you start investigating what else is on the desk. And some of the items on the desk, to my recollection, all of them come with audio cues as well, and they feed sprinkled, not pinches, but little sprinkles of information all together at once. And you get this sense of echoes of memory of the effect of past events and their lasting effect now. And this is the whole experience together, remembering what's in the drawers, it all combines piece by piece to give you a quiet understanding of both what exactly the situation is for these people, this person, the person who owns the desk, you know, what they experiencing and feeling. You get just the tiniest flash, but it's enough to craft an entire narrative in your mind's eye. Like, there's no words, no descriptive story really, aside from what you're presented with. And you depending on how fast you leave, you walk away with a clear understanding of what has happened here, but also an understanding of what's being said by the experience, the commentary on the state of video games now and their representations of certain things within games. I do suggest, if you want to find out more on this one, go to www.inretrospectpodcast.com/soldiersaredreamers and download it for yourself. It's for free, and really take it in. But going back to both of the games, going back to both of the games, they both have done something quite special. Clearly with a simple ideal, small focused intent to do and say something specific, and it's crafted in both cases something that I don't believe can be rated. I don't believe that you can say this is good or bad or great or awful. You can critique maybe technically some issues, much like the last title with the length of it and the audio, but that does not detract from the overall intent and narrative. And again, I think the fact that two so bare bones things exist that brace these issues and say these things and creates these narratives so effectively says a lot about how little much larger experiences have managed to do, and raises questions as to why much larger experiences don't do more. I think I'll leave it there though. I did want to, before I sign off with this and let you get back to what you were doing, just mention a small shout out for a not quite indie experience, but something I found quite fun recently, which was the world's biggest Pac-Man, or Well, the website is worldsbiggestpacman.com, and it's literally just a website that is hundreds and hundreds of Pac-Man mazes designed and built by users, and all of them are stuck together like a quilt. So you get to play Pac-Man and chase ghosts and do the usual Pac-Man thing and get a high score. But then as soon as you go off the edge of the map, like you do in the original Pac-Man, instead of coming on in the other side, you go over to the next level and go on that map. And then if you keep going, you go to the next map and then the next map. And it's just something that is just brilliant fun. So I suggest go and find that and have a little go on that too. If you've got any more comments on indie games for me to absorb, and you want me to mention your indie game, or you know of an indie game that deserves to be spoken about, or you think I should try, the next show will be a lot more review based. And feel free to send us an email. It's the usual Digifox email, digifoxuk@gmail.com, and feel free also to follow the same name on Twitter, DigifoxUK. Message us about anything, and we'll if we get any good comments, I'll feature them on the next episode. But that's everything for now. So thanks for listening to this overly long rant, and support your local indies. I trick 'em if I can. I trick 'em if I can. I'm gonna tell 'em that you need me, and I'm your faithful man, and I'm your faithful man. When you go with an angel, you will never come back. When my angel comes to get me, he'll take a big load off of my back. If you go with an angel, it's gonna be a load off of my back. If my angel doesn't want me, I tell you what I'll do. I tell you what I'll do. I'll get to heaven on my own and be waiting there for you.